The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Weekday evenings on FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. It's 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood. Host Daryl Wood brings you the day's news and trending topics as only he can, with a unique blend of conservative opinion, constitutionalism, and thought-provoking analysis. Join the conversation. 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood. A daily look at the news in a way you won't hear anywhere else. Tune in to 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood on FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. Or stream at patriotdetroit.com.
You are in what part of the country?
Southwest Colorado.
Wonderful. How are you picking us up?
Oh, I stream you guys on my iPhone every day.
Fantastic.
I am a resident of Sterling Heights, but I frequently come to Southwest Colorado.
I am just thrilled to be hearing from you out there in Colorado. Continue to listen, tune in again, and call at your earliest convenience. Godspeed.
Run to Win with Daryl Wood, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. on Faith Talk Detroit.
This is Next Steps for Seniors with your host, Wendy Jones. Each week, Wendy brings resources and information to help guide you through those next steps for your elderly parent or loved one. Now, here's Wendy Jones with this week's guest.
Good morning and welcome to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. I'm your host, Wendy Jones, and as you all know, each and every week we do our best to bring information and talk about things that people really don't usually want to talk about. And we have a special guest in the studio today, someone who is near and dear to my heart personally, someone who has been a mentor, an amazing leader in the community, and someone who shares the passion for seniors that I have, and actually has really been an impetus and was on my founding board for our nonprofit, Next Steps for Seniors Foundation. So I am very blessed to have Mary Miller, who was the founder of the nationally recognized OPC, which is the Older Persons Commission here in Rochester, Michigan. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, God bless you. You are a staple in our community, a staple in our nation, and a staple for women, let me just add. Mary began her career really driving seniors at RARA, the Rochester Avon Recreational Authority. So she started having this passion, I'm going to say, and watching seniors. And so, Mary, tell us, is that kind of how your passion started for seniors, was driving this minibus around?
Actually, my passion for seniors was my grandmother. During World War II, my dad was overseas for 4 years, and we never saw him. But we lived next door to my grandmother, and every time my brothers were mean to me, I'd run over to my grandma and say, "They're mean to me." And she said, "Such a sweet little girl like you, I can't believe they're mean to you." So she was really my mentor, and we told so many stories over the years. And I can remember on Sunday, we always listened to the greatest story ever told. And we went to church every Sunday and went to Bible school and really enjoyed life. Then my dad come home, and we built a house right next door to my grandmother's. And so I spent a lot of time with my grandmother and her lady friends and everything. So that's where I got the passion for seniors, really, from her and the church group that
she was
the circle she was a part of.
So you would go to church with your grandmother, and your parents would be okay with that?
Oh, yeah. They were at first, but my dad said, "You know, we're Presbyterian. Why aren't we going to the Presbyterian church?" I said, "Because you don't go with us. My grandmother goes to the Methodist church, and that's where I go." He said, "Next Sunday, we're going to go to the Presbyterian church."
I love it.
So
what a great story.
That's where we started, and my parents always went to church after that. And it was wonderful. And then when I got to ride the seniors around, I listened to what they had to say. And bingo and cards was not all they enjoyed. And that's all they were given in the city. And so when I became the director under RARA, I decided to develop programs for them. And we did arts and craft, and we did trips, and we did different things. It was a lot of fun. And then pretty soon they decided, because I got a big grant from the Area Agency on Aging through the state, that they decided that what I should do is the money that we got from another village through the recreation department, that we didn't really need it because we had the grant. So they took it away from us and gave it to the kids program. And I didn't think that was fair, because the kids had the school programs, they had RARA, they had church programs, and to me, they shouldn't have done that. And so I told Earl Bourne that really what I wanted to do was develop a senior program that was separate from the recreation department. Well, they weren't too happy with me about that, but I found a law in the state of Michigan that allowed seniors to go for their own millage, so they couldn't stop us. And so once we got that millage and we passed it, it took us twice to do it, but we passed it. Then they decided they would help me out with the building. So they put their money aside in Rochester Hills for, which was Avon Township back then.
And was this like 1982-ish? When was the millage passed?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And so when we passed that and we got this, we needed to get a building, Earl Borden wanted us to be in Rochester Hills, of course, but the building we wanted was a school of Woodward, because they were selling it. And so Earl did go ahead and do the job of getting it taken care of, and I really appreciated that, because he really wanted us in Rochester Hills, and we were ending up in Rochester.
Well, and there, so the vacant school was available, so that's what you were fighting for, the one on Woodward. I got you.
Right, and it was an awesome school, because we were able to reestablish it into a senior center.
Right.
And that's when we started more programs,
and
like
activities.
Adult daycare. And more activities.
More than bingo.
And you know what we were good at was doing Meals on Wheels.
Okay, tell us about that, because you were one of the impetus. You were the impetus behind that program starting.
Right. I got a grant to help us with the Meals on Wheels. In fact, we had to fight the state of Michigan because they didn't want us to have it. They wanted it to go to somebody else. And when they found out, because the biggest thing they said, well, you don't have a minority. And I said, oh, yes, we do. Because we have a lot of Asian people in the area, and that's our minority. And so they finally decided that we could have the Meals on Wheels program. And so even though we were doing it, but it was very limited what we could do, but once we got the grant, we could really spread out. And we did like six other communities. So we were very involved with Meals on Wheels, and it was a great program.
So you saw a need that seniors were having difficulty getting food.
Well, not only difficulty, but some of them couldn't heat up. They were too, like myself right now, I cannot cook. It's very difficult for me to stand at it.
Yeah.
So that's why we ended up doing and helping people. And then we went on weekends. Mm-hmm. And so we did weekend meals, meals too. And so I don't care for those meals that are cold, because I think everybody needs a hot meal.
I totally agree. And that's how you started it.
That's it. And then I decided we needed to be bigger, because we were running out of space at Woodward School.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to, again, the communities and said I want to do a millage for a bond issue, which is different than a millage. I never knew that before either. But there's a difference between bond issues and millages. We already had the millage, so we got the bond issue, and we passed it for $14 million.
Wow.
And we ended up building Woodward School. And the other helped me was I got involved with Senior Olympics at the national level. I was on the national board. And I could
see. Of course
see,
you were.
Yeah, pickleball was a big thing. So I bought a pickleball set.
Oh, this is a good conversation.
And everybody said to me, what is pickleball all about? Well, it's like tennis, but it's lower grade. And you could do it indoors or outdoors.
As you age, too.
And the reason for the pickleball name was because the guy that invented it had a dog by the name of Pickle, so every time the ball got out of the area and the kids didn't want to run and get it, they'd say, go get it, Pickle. So pickleball was the name of the game.
That you thought of this. You were like way ahead of your time because it is now one of the largest growing sports in the United States today.
It is. And
so
I think
funny.
OPC at this point should actually do a one where they got the land to do an outside one.
Oh, people would go nuts.
Yeah.
They're going everywhere. They're going to Borden Park. They're going to Lake Ori. They're everywhere is pickleball,
right.
Let me tell you. I'm married to one of those fanatics, so I'm very aware. But, you know, what I love, Mary, is that you saw a need. You had a heart of compassion because of your relationship with your grandmother. And with your experience driving, you listened. You listened to what people were saying they needed, and then you created it. And this is what I love about what you've done.
You know, I think the most important thing about OPC and the senior program, that anybody with any income can afford it.
Correct.
It should not be something that they have to pay for. They should be able to go in and just enjoy being there, visiting with people if that's all they want to do.
Exactly. Because what we've done really everywhere is priced people out of options, right?
I mean,
even the senior living communities are, you know, $6,000 to move into, and some people can't afford those. But you created a venue where people can go for free.
That's right. And what we did with that,
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to your daughter in the next segment. You're listening to The Patriot, FM 101.5, AM 1400. Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors. I'm your host, Wendy Jones, and we are very, very blessed to have Miss Mary with an E. Miller in our presence in our studio today and sharing her life's journey with you. And, you know, being a woman, number one, being a faithful woman, number two, and, you know, really believing in a mission for seniors. And this is why she's here today to share. I want to talk more about what she's done in her lifetime at the OPC, but what we're going to get into in the next segment, just so our listeners know, is we are going to talk about the endowment that she started and an event coming up, so stay tuned. And then in the last segment, we're going to do words of wisdom. So sweet words of wisdom from our infamous Mary Miller in the last segment. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss all of these segments. But let's, from our last segment, we were talking about pickleball and how, you know, you had the foresight way before anybody else did. But you're seeing needs. You're seeing a need in the senior community of programs and events that maybe need to be developed or created that haven't been there. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, other programs that you had that most senior centers usually don't have.
Well, I tell you, one of the biggest things that we had was volunteers, because you can't hire enough staff to do everything. So you need to have volunteers. And we had at one time 2,000 volunteers. And they took meals out to the senior center, which I think they still do. And they come in and they helped run a lot of the programs for us. And without them, we wouldn't have been able to do as much as we did. One of the things we did when we passed our millage is seniors that lived within a quarter of a mile from our home, from their home. We actually had them write letters to all the people that lived within their little district. And people told me the reason they voted for that village is because they got these sweet little letters from seniors saying what their needs were. And so they were really excited about helping us pass the village, and we passed it overwhelmingly.
You involved the community.
Yes.
You brought them together, and that's what people don't understand. You are a visionary. You're seeing the need. You're bringing it together in a nice little package with a bow on it. I love it.
Yeah, and the other thing that we did is because I was involved with Senior Olympics, I actually knew that swimming was a very important part of seniors' life. And so we built a big swimming pool, and we built a big therapy pool, which is very important because I've seen so many therapy, they call them therapy pools, and they actually look like hot tubs, and they're small.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is a big area that they could really get in and exercise and do what they needed to do. So that was another program that we started that most people don't have in senior centers. But it's very important to keep yourself physically active than anybody else. And then they went on to become in Senior Olympics at the national level, and they won all the medals.
I love
because
it.
Because they had the chance to participate in their own swimming pool, where most places they have to find a swimming pool and see if they can get hours in or whatever, but they don't have to. And the other thing we got involved in before the building, but we would go to Pontiac to use their facilities to do volleyball, basketball, the different sports. And we were really good at getting them the opportunity to participate in sports, too, that were very active. So that's why we went with a 50 and up, because all the leagues were 50 and up, and we needed it. And we did ice hockey. And so we did all the sports that you could possibly think to do.
And honestly, not many senior centers are doing that type of athletics. And why not play volleyball? Why not do ice hockey? I mean, what
right.
a great concept.
That's right.
Good for you. Good for you. So because you saw this need and that you've had a passion for seniors, as you're going through the 19 or how many years did you manage that OPC? You were the executive director for many
40
years.
40 sub years.
Oh my goodness. So you've seen a lot of changes, not just in the OPC, but in the seniors, right?
Absolutely. And I think more people that live in Rochester and they go visit somebody else, or they come and visit them in Rochester and they see what they have, they go back and start asking, why don't we have this kind of a program?
Mm-hmm. And that's why literally it's well known nationwide. I mean, there's been awards nationwide that are coming and recognizing the OPC.
Oh, yeah. You know, but the awards don't mean much to me, because I'm just happy that the seniors are
happy. It's the people, exactly. So how did you come up with the OPC?
The OPC is a state-run program, and it's a state clause in there that if the political people won't put a village on the docket for you,
mm-hmm.
they have to put this on. It's like a library,
oh.
Older Persons Commission. And that's the name of the place in the state of Michigan. And the problem is, I have been very fortunate. We had three communities, Rochester, Rochester Hills, and Oakland Township, because you always had someone agree with you. And then you had someone mad at you.
Yes.
But so many places only have one community, and if the community leaders don't want to do it, they don't have much choice because they're hired by the community.
Mm-hmm.
Most recreation departments are.
Yep. And I'm sure, listeners, you can see what I'm seeing right now is you have a tenacious woman who had a goal in mind and saw the need and created something that everybody said she couldn't do, and she did it. And it's been around for 40 years plus, and she ran it almost the entire time, recently retired, and is now moving into another area, which is creating an endowment. So as you're aging, Mary, you're thinking about not just yourself and others, you know, seniors, you're thinking of the future seniors. And you're like, why not create something to leave a legacy for those seniors that still have, you know, a lot to follow behind us?
You know, Wendy, I was very lucky. You came to me and you said, Mary, I want to know more about what you did. You brought one of your board members to a breakfast. And we sat and talked about seniors and what their needs were. And one of the needs that I found really difficult was low-income people. And that's who I care about. High-income people, they're wonderful people, but I don't really care that much about them. I try to run programs that would help them keep themselves active and alive. But what I was really concerned about was the low-income people that didn't have any place to go. And so you decided to develop a low-income program for people that were on the lowest income, but they could still get some money from the Social Security, the insurances, and different things that they had. But then my daughter started working with you, and then she kept telling me, Mom, it's not just the low income and the high income. What we're missing is that middle piece. And so she's here today, and she's going to tell you a little bit about it.
Yes, we've got Kim Russell in the radio studio with us. And Kim is on the Next Steps for Seniors business team with us. And Kim? How are
well,
you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me and Mom here. We are super excited for the event that we're having. It's called Run for the Golden Roses, kind of like The Bachelor. But this is a Kentucky Derby party. It is at the Plaza Grande in Shelby Township. We're going to have cocktails and a special mint julep for each one of you, dinner, horse races. You can bet on 11 virtual races. You can buy your own horse, and you have the odds of 10 to 1. So we'd love for your support with Mary with the E Endowment on actually the 150th anniversary of the Kentucky Derby, May 4th on
what
Saturday.
What a fun event. So this is an opportunity to give back, because Mary's and Kim's heart, as you can hear, are both for seniors. The seniors who fall in this forgotten middle, so to speak, right? The low-income programs, we have Medicaid. People who have the means, like Mary said, they're able to pay the big dollar amounts, but it's the people in between, and that number is growing drastically. So the Mary with an E Endowment is having this fundraising event on May 4th. We would love for you to attend. It is going to be an incredible opportunity, not just to meet Mary Miller, which we all know is just a treat and a gift, but she will be there, I will be there, Kim will be there, along with hundreds of others. So we would love for you to attend, again, Saturday, May 4th. You can call our office for tickets at 248-651-5010. We're going to take a quick break and talk more about this endowment and what the sweet Mary Miller is doing for us. Yes.
Yeah, the other thing before you hang up, I would like to say that Wendy is an awesome person and started this program, but you don't have to pay to use the service. All you do is you come in and call her and tell her what you want and what you need, and she'll take care of it with no charge at all to you.
That's exactly right, because we all care about you. We'll be back in just one quick moment. You're listening to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. I'm your host, Wendy Jones. Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. And it really is a a joy. It's a privilege to do this every week, to be able to have these conversations, to meet new people, to learn new experiences. And we've all learned so much already from Mary Miller. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the program today, she was on my founding board, and she was the one that I went to really one of the first calls when I said, you know what, we need to start a foundation. We need to have a 501c3. We need to be able to help these people who can't help themselves. And basically what I've seen over the course of time is that number is growing, and it just breaks my heart. It breaks Mary and Kim's heart as well. They see these people who call and they say things like, you know, here's what I need. I can't walk. I need a walker, or I need a wheelchair, or I can't, you know, drive anymore, or I can't get meals. What do I do? And we have a whole team of people. I have a nurse navigator, we've been blessed, that is full time answering and helping all these people with these problems for free, like Mary said, because we want to help you. We want to be a resource. We are blessed because we have an amazing team of people here. We've got nurses, social workers, we've got passionate people who just love our seniors, and we have a lot of experience. So we want to use all of that knowledge and share it with you and help you on your journey so you're not alone and you're not by yourself trying to make a way and figure it out all by yourself. All you got to do is call us and we'll help you with that. So the foundation, nextstepsforseniorsfoundation.org, we have three pillars. We support financially. So we bridge the gap. We'll give you up to $400 a month for up to 2 years. So for example, if you get $1,700 a month from Social Security, but you need $400 more in order to move into a safe environment or be safe in age gracefully, we'll be able to bridge that gap for you. And so that's one of the big things that we do here. Now, of course, there's an eligibility committee. You need to qualify. You need to have two ADLs, which means you need some help with things. And also the next pillar is to help physically, assist physically. Some people just need, you know, help moving your stuff from one place to another, whatever it might be. And the third pillar, which is near and dear to my heart, and honestly, to me, the most important, we need to meet the basic need before we meet the spiritual need. But the third pillar we have is support spiritually. So we have a whole team of people, volunteers, like Mary said, and I got the idea from her, and we're activating local churches, and we're sending people out to pray with people, pray with our sweet seniors near end of life, because they might have unforgiveness in their spirit. They might have regrets. They might want to talk to somebody before they pass. This is a team of people that is there trained to help you with that. So I want to make sure you're all aware of that. You can call our office, like I mentioned, anytime. We can put you in touch with our nurse navigator and our resources and send out our spiritual team to you. So with that, I would love Mary and Kim to explain how the endowment, so those are the things that our foundation does. Now, the endowment was created to really help those people that aren't able to meet the qualifications of being able to move into an assisted living for $6,000 a month, right? Because that's the average price, but yet don't qualify for Medicaid. So sometimes you make $20 too much. Sometimes you know, physically don't need a nursing home, but you need help. And that is why the Mary with an E. Miller endowment was started, so that they can support us. We can use the interest from the fund as it grows with the financial planner, and we'll be able to help more people. So I'll let you, Mary, just share, because you see the need also. You see the need in these low income.
I saw the need when I was at OPC, because one of the things that people had a problem with was paying their phone bill. So they lost their phone and they really need a phone. And so that was one of the things that we couldn't do at OPC, because you're right, they don't qualify for anything. So what we did is my daughter and I, we decided to start this foundation, and this foundation was Mary with an E, And I really knew that it was a need because Kim would come back and say, Mom, I can't help these people that I'm trying to help with Wendy's group because they fall between the cracks. And so that's what we talk about, falling between the cracks. And I'm going to let Kim talk a little bit about the crack.
Well, it's really an endowment that is under the foundation, and Mom is such a visionary, and she always is looking to solve problems. So the endowment really is a legacy for the future, and for the interest is now, but really for the future to help people when we're probably long gone, right? But Mom also wanted to do an emergent fund. So this emergent fund is to help people that are in need that don't qualify for low income, because it's a difficult threshold right now. You can't make more than $2,800. You can't have more than $2,000 in your account. So if you just make $3,000, you don't qualify for those programs. So that is falling in between the cracks. And that's what we're trying to bridge the gap with the Marry with the E Endowment and Emergent Fund.
And I think it's so important that everyone understands you work your whole life to get to a point where you get your Social Security. But things could happen throughout your life and you know, like a depression, right? Or things that happen, COVID, whatever it is, and that you don't plan for. So when you get to the point where you need more care, you need more money to care for yourself, is the point when you're on a limited income, you have no other opportunities to have funds coming in. You've stopped working years ago, and now you need more care than you've ever needed. And that's why we're here for you.
Right. And I saw that back when we were just in the school at Woodward School. I had a woman call me up, and she was crying on the phone because she needed surgery. But because she had $2,100 in the bank, they wouldn't make it eligible for her. So I told her, put your money underneath a mattress. And so anyhow, you know, just talking to some of these people that needed it for a real good reasons. And this woman had a husband and a son both killed in the wars. And it was really sad when you think about the government not helping her out in that situation back when we were 40 years ago almost, but back in the good old days, they call them. And it was really sad. And when Kim was telling me about these people that fall between the cracks that she couldn't help, we decided, let's help them. Let's help them get groceries. Let's help them get their bills paid that they couldn't pay themselves, because not everybody gets free health care. A lot of people have to pay for their health care or pay for their pills, and they were cutting them in half so they didn't have to. They could make their paid pills through the whole month. So it was a sad situation, and people don't realize that. When you sit in a nice home and you sit with a good income and you don't have any problems, it's something that you should look around.
And be aware. And that's why we're here today, really, Mary, to bring awareness to what you're doing, what we're doing, what you're doing, what we're partnering on, and the passion that we all share for these sweet seniors.
You know, Wendy, how could they give you a check to help with this cause? What address do they send it to?
Absolutely. You can write a check to Next Steps, Number 4 Seniors Foundation, and our address is 445 South Livernois, Suite 202. And that's Rochester Hills, Michigan, 48307. And yes, thank you, Mary, because we do need the funds. We do need donors who have funds, who see the problem, to help us so we can help seniors. And I just want to emphasize too that Mary, when she was on the foundation board, was like, we got to help people now. My whole board was like, let's put together a plan and let's do this next year. And Mary was like, oh no, we got to do this right now. We got to help someone today. And we started helping people right away. And that's what I love about the Emergent Fund that the Mary with an E Endowment is doing, is we want to help you right now. So please, if you need help, call us. Our number again is 248-651-5010.
And if your heart gets into it, send us a check. I never hurt asking for money, because if there's a need, the money should come automatically.
Amen. And you can also donate at nextstepsforseniorsfoundation.org, and also go to the events and you will see the Mary with an E Endowment event coming up on May 4th. And we're going to talk about Mary's words of wisdom coming in the next segment. So stay tuned. Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. I'm your host, Wendy Jones, and our guest in the studio today is Mary with an E. Miller, who is in her mid-80s, I'm just going to say, because no woman wants to give away her age. But I will say she's lived a long, amazing life. She has started this great venture of the OPC here in Rochester, Michigan. And as a woman, way back then was even profoundly amazing. But today, I would love her in this segment to share words of wisdom. She is such a visionary. She has seen things throughout of her life and then started things based upon needs that she's seen. So I would love for you to share, Mary, in this segment, because you've experienced so much and because you are where you are today, and sitting across the table from me, a beautiful woman. And I would just love you to share with our listeners, because it's tough. It's tough sometimes to age. And I'd love you to just inspire and motivate us with your words of wisdom. So what do you think is the most important thing that you've learned or that you have in your life?
Well, one of the things that I think is important, and I've always said, is making memories. Being godly, I think, is number one, but making memories is the next thing. Because your children have to look at what you've done so that they can be good citizens themselves and start making memories for their children. I think a family unit is so important. And I think a lot of people don't realize how important it is until their kids are out of the house and they wish they would have done more with them. Because so many families go on vacations by the adults only, and they leave their children at home or with babysitters, but I think they really need to take them with them and teach them the importance of having time off and relaxation and education along the way. We never went on a trip with our kids. We didn't take them someplace. In fact, the funniest one was, my husband and I laughed about it after. We took them to the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, and they didn't understand the difference between the two. So we said from then on, we're just going to take them to one war. Because my mother lived in Virginia, and we always visited her every year. And I think it's important for families to be together. I see my children with their families together is just wonderful. And my daughter, every Sunday I go over to her house and we have dinner together with her two children and her now daughter-in-law, which is wonderful. And Kim always asks me questions. And so I'm able to tell my children
and grandchildren
what is a, grandchildren, what is important in life. And I always insist that on Christmas that we get together, or Thanksgiving, we get together as a family, because we have about 40 people now by the time I have all my grandchildren and children and great-grandchildren. I have 15 great-grandchildren. But those are very important, and listening, having your children listen to what you're saying, not be playing games on the telephone. I think that's really a downer right now.
It's
there's
a distraction.
Too much, too much television
on
the telephone. And so have them put them away at mealtime. That's one of my words of wisdom.
I love it.
And really listen. And my children are very good. When they have grandchildren, they make sure that I see them at least once every month, if not before. Mm-hmm. And they make me pictures and do all kinds of little things that makes it important for me to live. And as I get down to the end of my life, I really look back and see what memories I have left my children and what memories they have left me, because it's a two-way street. It's not just one way. And it's so much fun to realize how blessed I am at this time in my life. And I never have cared about not giving my age. I'm going to be 88 this year. And I think it's a wonderful time to give to your children in your time now, because when you worked, you didn't have as much time as you do in your later years. And I just think that the most important thing is giving your kids the memories that they really need to have as you grow older, so that they look. And God has blessed me. I remember when I was a child and we prayed a lot for my dad because he was overseas for 4 years. And we wanted to be sure he was safe. And as a child, you're really into praying and believing that there's a bigger person in your life that helps you get through life. And that person, of course, is God and Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Holy Person that we believe in. And as I aged, I realized that. And one thing my grandmother taught me was never, ever have a place where people regret what you've done. And if you have a regret with somebody, pray that you don't get angry with them for what their belief is, that they have their own belief and then you have your own belief. But if you pray about it, you will never regret that decision that you made, because you know you made the right decision for the right time. And no matter what I did through life, I always cared about the person that I was, maybe not as nice to, but that was the way I believed, and I didn't want to change my belief. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important, that you really give it time, that if you don't like something somebody did, just give them a chance to talk to you about it.
And it's almost like being the bigger person and forgiving them, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And because it really is something we harbor as we age, unforgiveness affects us. And so if we forgive whoever it is, right, no matter what, if it's a family member, and it's so sad to me because there's a lot of families that are not talking to each other. Certain things happen in families. And I love what you're saying, these words of wisdom, because this is a time where family needs to come together, and we need to forgive others, so that, and just like God forgave us, it's the same thing. God forgave us when mm-hmm. we were sinners, so we have to forgive others, and nobody wants to harbor unforgiveness. So I love what you're saying, especially at end of life. And then you talked also about whatever you do, do it well.
Right. Well, and I think it's keeping your family together. It's making a time where you're going to come together. No matter what your beliefs are in the family, bring them together. And I don't think too many people do that. When they get mad, they just forget about it. But I think that's really important, because then when you leave this world, you're going to be at peace. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to be. We need to be at peace with anything that you do.
So take care of any unfinished business. Right. Sounds like your words of wisdom, right?
Right.
Don't have any regrets. Anyone listening to the show right now, you're alive, you're breathing, and maybe you haven't done some of these creating memories, things that Mary's talking about. Well, it's not too late.
That's right. And not only that, but I think sometimes you get mad at people without even thinking about why you're mad at them. If you ask, you know, what you mad about, probably they're going to say, I don't remember.
Right.
So
which tells
good.
Us it's not worth it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. But I think there's so much that you can do to help others and to help yourself. Because you're going to feel good about it. And, you know, people don't have to come up and tell me, this is great. I know it's great. I didn't ever do anything that I felt wasn't the right thing to do. I just really prayed about it a lot. And then I come up with the right decisions that was made throughout my life. And I really feel a need to help those people that fall between the cracks, that don't really fall on low income, that the government helps you or the state helps you, but you're always the one that you can't really be low income and you don't have enough to pay for your way. So you really need to bring some money into the endowment so that people can be helped.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, I want to say thank you to you, Mary. Thank you for your heart of passion. Thank you for caring about others. And thank you for what you represent for all of us. Be blessed today and pay it forward. Give to others. Great advice, Mary. God bless you all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to this week's edition of Next Steps for Seniors with your host, Wendy Jones. You can reach Wendy with any questions you have at area 248-651-5010. That's 248-651-5010. Join us again next week as Wendy provides more information and resources for those important next steps for your elderly parent or loved one.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.